Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. This is your host, Roberto Blake of RobertoBlake.com, helping you create something awesome today. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about the age of influencers. I think we are living in an unprecedented time right now. We're living in the age of online influencers, social media, YouTube, podcasting, just everything. And I think it's never been a better time for the regular average person, the average regular Joe or Jill, to really put themselves out there around something they're passionate about, something they feel that they have a skill in, or even just talking about their life or their career and being able to truly make a meaningful impact and influence others. Now, I know the word influencer gets thrown around quite a bit, but at the end of the day, as trite as it sounds, we really are all influencers. My dad influenced the buying decisions that I've made as an adult for years in the form of him preferring Craftsman tools, the form of him preferring Minolta cameras, got me started with those cameras as a photographer when I got started, influenced me to go to Sony cameras when they bought Minolta out, Konica Minolta. My uncle influenced me with Canon cameras. My father influenced me in terms of buying Toyota cars and mostly preferring Japanese cars or imports. So, I mean, we all influence people's buying decisions. I know that I've certainly influenced a lot of your buying decisions when it comes to the gear that you guys use for producing online videos or doing your photography or setting up a podcast like this one. So, I want to talk today about influencers, influencer marketing, becoming an influencer, and also the phrase micro-influencers, because I think that most of us are micro-influencers because we influence the buying decisions of our friends, our families, our coworkers, or if you're in a job with regard to sales, then you're influencing the buying decisions of consumers in your industry. So that's kind of what I want to focus on for today's episode of the podcast. Before we jump too far in today's episode about influencers, I need to talk about one. I need to talk about a micro influencer that I think is doing something really wonderful for families and for young people, and that is Miss Samantha. She is an active follower of mine in Twitter, retweets my stuff all the time, comments, likes it, and I really appreciate that. So I want to shout her out today as awesome creator of the day because Miss Samantha is a Christian gamer and a Grammy gamer. She's a grandmother, and she makes these great online gaming videos for families and children of all ages. It's family friendly and it's safe. And I think in an age where people think to get exposure and to be an influencer, you have to be edgy and you have to be part of the dark meme culture, especially if you're a gamer. And I just really like that there's someone out there that's thinking about people who maybe have a different lifestyle and is putting that out there, because at the end of the day, we all should have the ability to choose what we want to be a part of and not just have something be there and say, well, we can't be a part of something that we enjoy because it doesn't fit with our values. So I really appreciate what Miss Samantha is doing. So she is awesome creator of the day. I'll be linking to her YouTube channel and Twitter in the show notes. So make sure you're checking that out. All the show notes, everything I reference, everybody that I reference will be linked up in the show notes. And if you really want to get more out of this podcast, make sure you're checking out createsomethingawesometoday.com. Links, of course, are in the show notes for everything, but that's the best place to really enjoy the podcast. Influencer marketing is a topic that comes up a lot, not only in YouTube, but also in public speaking and also in working with brands, because brands are turning to platforms like Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to find people that have audiences that already connect with their ideal target market and are doing it in an interesting way. And this has a lot of value because it's ultimately cheaper for a brand to work with an influencer than it is to produce content in-house a lot of times. People who've never worked in corporate America or have never worked in an art department or a marketing department have no idea how grueling and how many hoops you have to jump through in the decision-making process and approvals just to put out one piece of content. Sometimes the approval on just a tweet is a crucible that takes literally 100 times more effort and time than to just write the tweet in the first bloody place. And that's just really frustrating. So ultimately, putting the creative control in the hands of influencers who already have an audience, who already know how to do effective messaging to that audience and that ideal demographic, it's actually really smart. It saves time. It's usually cheaper. If you were in corporate America and you wanted to do a commercial, and you had to hire an actor and an actress and a director of photography and an editor, or you had to outsource this to an agency, it would cost thousands upon thousands of dollars. There are influencers with access to tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people who are more than willing to produce a polished, well, like high-end piece of content for under $1,000. And it's amazing because usually the day rate for actors to just do something like this, you pay them $500-$800 as a day rate as an actor or an actress normally. And you know, you get something out of that. Sure, hopefully it's usable. But at the end of the day, if you're working with an influencer, they want to get their brand out there too. So they have skin in the game. They're not just showing up for a paycheck the way that maybe if you hire people, that's their biggest priority. Ultimately, these online influencers want to grow their brand. I know that's usually true for me. And I think that companies, if you're listening, you could get a lot more from influencers if you decide to maybe offer less money, but offer them a little bit more in terms of exposure to grow their own following by exposing them more to your following with a few retweets, a few mentions in Facebook and Instagram, and maybe some more exposure in if you have the access to put something out for traditional media. I know what Samsung did that was really smart was literally one of the new ads for the Samsung Galaxy S8 mobile phone was to combine authentic product reviews that they didn't even sponsor. They licensed this from existing YouTube creators, people like my friend Andrew Edwards, people like iJustine, people like your average consumer, MKBHD, Marquez Brownlee. They just assembled all these great videos that already exist on the internet in high quality. And what people had to say about the Samsung Galaxy S8, you know, cut them up in a very interesting way. And that was the whole, pretty much the whole ad was authentic, real people in their house or their bedroom who use the phone just like you and I do every single day, talking about their experience and what they like about it and what's amazing about it. And that was brilliant. It's infinitely cheaper to do that and to license that content from YouTubers than if you had to do a staged ad or commercial or a 3D render commercial the way that Apple likes to do them. I mean, it's just more practical. Not to mention, it's really authentic. And then it connects with people. Not to mention the additional distribution. Every single one of those YouTubers plugged that commercial in their social media, blew it up more, got it out there in the hands of and the eyeballs of more people because they had every incentive to, because it repped their own brand well. And by having it be multiple influencers, multiple YouTubers, it scales dramatically. And it also encourages those people to collab more and to do different things. So I just think that brands need to get a little bit more creative about how they leverage influencers beyond saying, hey, plug my stuff, mention my stuff, wear my merch, whatever. I think that it needs to go further. And I think that Samsung is setting a great precedent in the way that they work with influencers, the way they work with people like Casey Neistat. I know sometimes he gets flack for that, but I love it. I think it's amazing. One of the influencers that I've seen really step up her game in terms of working with brands and doing it in an interesting and creative way is Sarah Deechi. And, you know, I mention her a lot, but I mention her a lot because I think she sets a great example and a great precedent for young people, especially in their 20s. But something the rest of us, regardless of age, can learn from is the way that she works with brands to do native content and content that still resonates with her audience and doesn't turn them off is really smart and it's really practical. And the way that she does it creatively and works it into the general storyline of a video that she's making is done in a clever way. So I appreciate that. Other people that I've seen it do, that I've seen do this very well in the tech world are Linus Tech Tips and his team. They actually pretty much almost every video is a sponsored mention video, but as a tech channel, the way they do it makes perfect sense. And it does fit with the audience and what the audience would want for them. From them, and I really appreciate the way that they integrate these things and the way that they do even their computer build logs, the way that they approach affiliate marketing with their Amazon links. Again, it's just done really smart and really intentionally and in alignment with the audience. I think what most influencers fail to do when they work with brands is think about a win-win-win, you know, a triple threat. How is this a win for me as a creator? How is this a win for the brands that I work with? And how is this a win for my audience? Am I delivering, first of all, a quality piece of content that I believe in? Am I doing the product justice? Is this something that my audience even cares about and would matter to them? I think that these are some of the most important questions that influencers can ask themselves. And I think that a lot of people just overlook these things. And a lot of times they just want to make bottom of the barrel content, or they take the easy way out. I also think sometimes influencers fail to respect their obligations to a brand and fulfill what it is they were asked to do in the first place. Recently, there is actually a lawsuit that came up recently that I want to talk about because it involves influencer marketing, and I think it's really important. TubeFilter recently broke this story on August 22nd, 2017, and the way it comes out is that Studio 71, which is pretty much the leading multi-channel network, the leading MCN in the YouTube space right now, is suing one of their creators. They filed a lawsuit for breach of contract and fraud for a YouTube lifestyle guru you guys might be familiar with, Bethany Moda, and her father and manager, Tony Moda. And part of it is because a brand actually was going to pay them $325,000. Can you imagine being an influencer, being a YouTuber, being in your early 20s, and being offered to do a content piece for a brand, do a campaign for a brand, and they're going to pay you $325,000. Can you imagine? And fly you to Hawaii. So the deal was that they were going to pay her a talent fee, fly her to the Hawaiian island of Kauai in exchange for a sponsored YouTube video and some posts on different social media channels, you know, things like Instagram and Twitter. And ultimately, according to Hollywood Reporter, there was some issues that happened in terms of a little bit of drama. Apparently, her dad was acting a little bit like a diva. He wanted a production assistant to take him around and fly his drone, according to this article. And also, he kind of encouraged Bethany, who has 10 million subscribers on YouTube, over 10 million subscribers on YouTube, to kind of shirk some of her obligations. And they ended up putting out a video that wasn't the video that was promised in the contract. And they put out a video, according to this, that also wasn't approved by the brand's ad agency. So ultimately, you know, she put out some videos and she put out some content, according to this, that the brand didn't approve and that didn't fulfill the terms of the contract, but still is expecting to get paid for it. And the brand and the studio are like, no, you said you would do this. And the thing is, they flew out to Hawaii to get this footage into the video, and the video she put out didn't even have the footage from Hawaii in it. So, you know, after all this stuff and after asking, oh, I need this drone footage, but then you don't include it in the video. Oh, we send you to Hawaii, but you don't even show that. And you put out a video about the product, but it doesn't have the, you know, fantastic, you know, footage that we, you know, foot the bill and sent you on vacation to get. I think that that's a problem. And I understand where this lawsuit's coming from. Most of you would expect me to be very pro creator, pro YouTuber in this, but ultimately, as a business person myself, if you agree to something and you guys come to an agreement and you don't hold up your end of it, that's a problem. And I think that just comes down to a certain level of integrity. I think that sometimes influencers get, especially young influencers, they get overwhelmed by everything that they're doing. They're trying to balance and live their life. And it's not an excuse, though, for not just, you know, honoring your agreements and being a person of your word. If somebody sends you on location to shoot something and then you put out a video that has nothing included from the location, well, why did they send you there? Why did they foot the bill for that money? And I just feel like, you know, even if it's not a lot of money to you, if you are like a 10 million subscriber YouTuber, maybe $300,000+ and a vacation isn't a big deal. But I just feel there's a certain level of humility and gratitude for what you have accomplished and the people who have helped made it happen and the brands that, you know, support you. I think that when you fail to live up to those kind of obligations, it sends a signal to other companies whether they want to work with you, but not just you, but give those level of opportunities to other creators. There are probably many of you in this audience right now that if a brand said, we'll send you to Hawaii and we'll give you $3,000, that you would have went out of your way, and instead of just doing like one video and a bunch of posts for them, you would have showed off all that great footage of Hawaii because you wouldn't have wanted to show people, hey, look where I am. And then a lot of you probably would have went above and beyond for that brand because you would want more opportunities like that and you'd want more brands to reach out to you. So you know, we will find out the full details of this. I'm sure people like Philip DeFranco will cover this and will do the story a lot of justice. Tube Filter gave a lot of details. Hollywood Reporter actually links over to the actual suit itself in full. So does Tube Filter. So I'll link those things in the show notes if you want to check it out. The reason I bring it up is because I think that we have to learn from things like this as influencers, and also I think brands need to learn from this, is that you need to look at the track record of the people that you work with. And then as an influencer, you have to find your work-life balance, sure, but you can't use that as an excuse for not doing right by your audience. You can't use that as an excuse but for not doing right by brands and people that you work with. You can't use it as an excuse for not doing right by your friends and family. And I think that when you're a young person and you get a wild amount of success, in Bethany's case, she's had tremendous success, I think, from the age of 13 or 14. And when that happens, sometimes people don't know how to approach certain things. Sometimes, even if you have experience, you get in over your head and you make mistakes, and that's fine. And everyone should be given more opportunities and should be given a second chance when they make mistakes. Everyone should be allowed, especially young people, to make those mistakes. I'm not trying to come down hard on her at all. What I want everyone to learn from this, regardless of age, as an influencer and as us living in the age of influencers, is that it's not just you. For us to find out that a YouTuber, an influencer, a social media personality was offered over $250,000 and a trip and then doesn't hold up the end of the bargain, it sends a red flag to every single brand that would want to work with influencers and YouTubers. And maybe they're like, wow, no amount of money is enough for these kids. No amount of money is enough for these YouTubers. Wow, look at how someone squandered this tremendous opportunity. Influencer marketing doesn't work. I can tell you that from the marketer and the brand side and the agency side, that those are the conversations that people are having. When you see things like that, and when you see people damaging their personal brand by making unnecessary jokes or getting political when that's not the focus of their brand. We've seen things like that happen with PewDiePie being one of the most prominent examples of that, and then that there was actually financial repercussions for him. There were relationship repercussions for him. There was a cost to all of that. And again, I'm not, bagging on him either. He's made his apologies. He's talked about the business implications and that if he had it to do over, he wouldn't, because it hurt his business. It hurt his brand. He got subscribers and support, and a lot of people took his side, but he lost like money in this, and he lost brand relationships that disrupted his day-to-day routine. He lost the office he had with Disney and Maker, which was a place he was looking forward to going to day in and day out to get his work done. He lost his sub MCM and media company that was working on Revel Mode, something he was working on with his friends for 3 to 4 years. 3 to 4 years of your life and your hard work, there's no amount of new subscribers, there's no amount of sticking it to the Wall Street Journal that makes up for 3 to 4 years of something you worked hard on going down the drain over 9 videos out of over 1,000 videos you've made that you really didn't need to make. And so I just feel that influencers have to really take the big picture into consideration. It's great and it's fun to be on YouTube and to make money doing what you love and to get to travel. But if you sign contracts, if you make deals, if you're in relationships with companies, you have to understand what that means. And you have to understand that you have obligations. It's adulting 101, people. Like, be a person of your word, and also think about people other than yourself. Think about, instead of just what's fun for you or what you think will be interesting or what'll get you a bunch of views, you have to think about, well, how does this reflect on the people in my life? Does this have backlash for my friends and my family if I do this? Does this have backlash for me down the road 5 years from now? Does this negatively hurt brands that would want to support me and tie their name to me? I mean, I think we just all need to be more thoughtful. And I think that when you have influence, it's a trite saying, but with great power comes great responsibility. And so I just think that that matters. And that's why I wanted to talk about it with you guys. But I'd love to know your thoughts. So if you guys are interested in that, definitely hit me up in Twitter at Roberto Blake. I want to have a conversation. Actually, if you want to shoot me a Twitter video and talk about it, maybe that shows up in an upcoming YouTube video that I might do covering this kind of stuff. But I just really feel that influencers have to protect themselves, protect their brand, protect the people in their life, and protect the companies and businesses that they partner with. And I think that people have to just really be accountable for their actions. And I just think that's a normal thing. But let's talk about how you become an influencer in the first place, because I was, you know, critical of some of these things, but I think it's a great opportunity. I think being an influencer is amazing. I think having the capacity to affect and influence people's lives in some way, hopefully positively, is a great thing. And there's a lot of upside and incentive. You get to work with amazing companies. You get to travel sometimes, and you get to have an audience and fan base that supports and encourages whatever it is you're doing. And I mean, that's been so valuable to me and has literally changed my life. But it's something that I realized subconsciously was happening throughout most of my career prior to social media and YouTube anyway. I realized that I was the tech person in my family, in my neighborhood and community, and among my peers, and that I was influencing what hardware and software most of the people who ever interacted with me were using, because they saw me as an expert, because they saw me using stuff day in and day out. And so if you were going to get started as an influencer, I think the thing that you love, the thing that you're good at, the thing that you'll talk about forever, I think that that's how you really get started as an influencer. Right now in social media, and in particularly in YouTube, there's this overwhelming tendency to just want to do what will make you popular. There's this idea that of becoming internet famous and becoming an influencer. And the thing is, you have to do it from a pure place, in my opinion. If you're not and you're just trying to become popular, you'll find yourself in a cycle and a trap of doing things for the sake of being popular versus doing things that you really believe in. And I think that that has a lot of negative repercussions. And so what my experience has been is, look, I'm not the most internet famous, nor do I think I ever will be, probably, the most internet famous person in the world. I think that what I want to talk about, creative entrepreneurship, how to not be a starving artist, how as an artist and a creative person to ever overcome negative mindsets and do the proper mindset shifts to be successful and to not be a starving artist and not to suffer through depression and anxiety as a creative person, not to let your imagination and insecurity get the better of you. I think that those are things I want to talk about, but I don't think they apply to the far majority of people. I think that they apply to the nerds and the misfits and the art geeks like me, the creators, the online community. And I think that that's probably the minority of people, right? So I don't know that that's the most scalable thing in the world, but I don't care, because it's the thing that I'm passionate about. It's the thing that I love. And so as far as my influence goes with that, that's what I'm willing to accept. And I think the thing is that most people think that they need some arbitrary number for validation as an influencer, but that's why being a micro influencer is important. Because I mean, I see people like the Pokemon YouTube community, the PokeTubers. They like, not everybody cares about Pokemon. Some people grow out of it. Some people don't. Some people just think it's still super weird. But their community is their community. The same thing with the online gaming community. The same thing with the Dragon Ball community. The same thing with gun enthusiasts. Like, that's your micro community. And that might be 500 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people. You don't need a million people for any kind of validation. I don't even think you need one other person for validation, to be honest. Not if you're really working towards self-awareness. But again, I'm an introvert, so my energy isn't dependent on external validation. My energy is about just internally feeling a sense of peace and calm where I'm at, and a sense of internal control over my life. I don't need like the external energy and approval of other people to sustain me, right? Those things are nice. Sometimes they actually make me feel more self-conscious or awkward, to be honest. And so that's me. But not everyone's an introvert, right? Some people are extroverted and they do feed off of that energy that other people give them. And they do need that in order to feel pumped or jazzed to do anything. And so you have to figure out who you are, but you also have to maintain that. And you have to figure out not letting that dominate or rule over your life, and not necessarily become this persona that just overshadows everything to where who you really are as a human being gets lost in that. Because I think I see a lot of creators falling into that trap, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I think that that happens to a lot of people. I think we've seen it in celebrity culture prior to online influencer culture. And so I really think that micro influencers are underestimated, because those 5,000 people that a booktuber has in their community are the 5,000 most passionate people about that book. And every single one of them will buy a ticket when the movie comes out. You know, I think that those kind of things matter. those are the kind of people that will drive cross country for a book signing for their favorite author. So I really believe that micro influencers can build a strong niche for themselves. And then as far as, well, Roberto, but we can't make money or live off of this if we don't have follower, like, you know, 100,000 followers in Instagram or whatever, we can't. I'm like, no, yes, you can. Like, there's more money in it than you think. You have to diversify. You can't be lazy about these things. With YouTubers, I've seen YouTubers with, like, let's say 10,000 subscribers, and this is a real case. I've seen people with 10,000 subscribers make more money from their YouTube channel directly, and not just AdSense revenue, but overall, than people with 100,000 or even 500,000 subscribers. I kid you not. I've seen people that are getting about 500,000 views a month make more money than people who get 3 million views a month. And again, a lot of you just don't know sometimes how YouTube works, how sponsorship videos work, how building out more diverse revenue streams work. It's why I talk about it on my channel so much, and I talk about and focus on entrepreneurship, is because everyone wants to do these things, and everyone wants to hear all the success stories, and everyone wants to know how to get followers, but everyone's ignoring the actual realistic thing is, how do I do this at a technical level? What do I need? What tools, what skills do I need? What business things do I need to know? And how do I make real money? Because I think everyone just saying, oh, if I get attention, if I get views, the money will come. But you need a real business plan. And if you're an influencer, you need something beyond your platform. You need a way to make money offline too. You know, you need a way to grow your brand and your awareness on other platforms instead of just your core platform. And I think that all of these things are underestimated when it comes to how to become an influencer. I think that a lot of people don't think about these things. And even people who are successful at it, a lot of them are making it up as they go. They don't have a real blueprint for success with this. I mean, I'm building out something that's going to help with that in terms of an online course on personal branding. And I think that that's going to be helpful to people because it's going to outline exactly the things I did. It's kind of a heavy focus on the monetization side because, like, to me, one of the things that I get a little flustered by is the fact that I know that videos on how to get 100 subscribers, videos on how to get 1,000 subscribers, videos on how to get 100,000 subscribers will outperform videos on my channel on how to actually make money. And that to me is very scary because I think that it just shows that people's priorities are very skewed there, because even if you have influence, Gabby Dunn did a great article about this. I'll link to it in the show notes. Even if you have influence, even if you have 500,000 subscribers, there are people who have 500,000 subscribers on YouTube and still have to work a day job. And there are people that have 50,000 subscribers on YouTube and haven't worked a day job in years. And I really need people to put that into context. I think it's really important. And if you've gotten this far in the show, I definitely want you to tweet at me. I want to have a conversation about this, or even hit me up on Instagram. And you guys can always feel free to reach out over there at Roberto Blake. But I really want to talk more about this because I think that the influencer space is something that people grossly misunderstand. I think micro influencers are grossly underestimated, and I think everyone is playing way too much into the narrative of vanity numbers. And I think that those vanity numbers are seducing people to the dark side, and that if they paid attention to how to best serve their audience, how to best serve themselves in doing something they're passionate about and that they believe in, and how to figure out a practical plan for working with brands and companies and building their own business, that people would be infinitely more successful, and we wouldn't see people crash and burn, and we wouldn't see people destroying their personal brand to seek fame and attention and to go viral. Like, people are ruining their lives just to go viral. People are going to jail just to go viral. People are destroying their relationships just to go viral. And I think it's a real problem. People are dying over this. I mean, we had a story come out this summer about a couple and the young man, he died over a very stupid prank. And his girlfriend, who's pregnant with their child, is going to have her life ruined because she's going to jail over this, because they wanted so desperately to be influencers. They wanted so desperately to become YouTube famous, internet famous. They wanted so desperately to become viral that they didn't do the research to realize that this was dangerous and this was lethal and this was not going to have a good outcome. I mean, just that desperation, that angst, and I know a lot of you feel that, but it's really not worth it, and there are much more practical ways to go about this, and I just hope that my message around that is reaching you guys. I just hope that some of you are looking at the great examples that I talked about earlier in the show, people who are doing it right, people like Linus Tech Tips, people like Sarah Dietschy, people like Dayum Drops, people like Philip DeFranco. These are people who I respect because they're doing it right. They are doing right by their audience. They're doing right by the people that they work with. They're doing right by the relationships they have in their life. And they're not letting becoming an influencer influence their lives in a negative or destructive way. And so that's just something that I really think about, guys. Let's swing this over to a positive note real quick, because that got me down a little bit thinking about all that. One of the things that I will say is that if you can have a positive influence on people, which I believe that I've managed to do, then it's so rewarding. It's so satisfying to hear success stories from you guys and to hear that maybe something I did helped you build your online business, helped you build your personal brand, helped you grow a following and realize that people care about the same things that you care about and share your interests and share your values. That's been amazing to hear that you guys are truly taking something from this and it's making a real difference in impacting your lives, because to truly have influence, you have to be able to get people to make a choice and to make a change. And I'm just grateful that I've had that opportunity to influence you guys in a positive way. There's some of you that told me that you're making more money than you've ever made in your life, or that you're making a living off of the thing you love for the first time in your life because I either motivated you or educated you about things you don't know. And that's what this show, this is what my YouTube content, this is what my Instagram and Twitter are all about, is helping you guys create awesome things that you believe in and share them with the world and get out a message or a piece of content or a thing that you made that really needs to be in the world and needs to be shared. And I'm just so happy to know that some of you are doing that from a pure place and that you're doing it for the pure love and joy of it, and that's bringing you the success that you're looking for in your life. And I'm just happy to know many of you are not starving artists anymore. And if I played a small role in that, that's amazing. And I'd love for you to share more of those success stories with me in social media, whether it's in Twitter, whether it's in Instagram, at Roberto Blake. And I'm just happy to have you guys in this community. So last bit of housekeeping, this show and this episode is sponsored by Awesome Creator Academy. Go check out awesomecreatoracademy.com. I have an online group mentoring program that you guys can join if you want more help becoming a creative entrepreneur, building your personal brand or your online business. We have an amazing community with dozens of people that are hustling just as hard as you and want to create awesome things and share them with the world. So you can go ahead and sign up today at awesomecreatoracademy.com. Links are, of course, in the show notes. Everything I've referenced today are in the show notes. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you guys for being part of the Create Awesome community. And again, big shout out to our awesome creator of the day, Miss Samantha. Go check her stuff out. Again, it's all linked up in the show notes for you. Don't forget that you can see everything at createsomethingawesometoday.com. Please rate and review the show over in iTunes, or if you're listening in SoundCloud, drop us a comment. Let us know what you guys think about the conversation here, and just let's keep all of this going. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Go out there and create something awesome today. Take care.